The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm not sure, but I'm almost sure that that would be your favorite psalm, and the psalm most people, as I've been a minister a long, long time and have been to many a bed of sickness, indeed many a deathbed. And when I asked, what would you like me to read from the Bible, more often than not, they say the 23rd Psalm. And I've asked myself over the years, why does most everybody want the 23rd Psalm read? I mean, I would ask the same thing if I knew it was near the end for me. I would certainly ask whoever was attending that they would read the 23rd Psalm. But why? I think it is because, at least this may be one of the main reasons, because it's what the Lord does for us, especially when we need it. We know the Bible teaches us to serve the Lord with gladness, come into His presence with thanksgiving, to love other people, to do the best we can in His name wherever we go. That's clearly scriptural, and yet this says that God does something for us that no one else is able to do. And particularly this psalm visualizes the Lord walking us through the difficulties of life. Realistically, we know that life has some challenges, sometimes severe challenges. I mean, it's very interesting to live in this world and seek to serve God, but it has its challenges. And I think we all inwardly feel and know that we cannot make it on our own, that we need help from a higher source. And that is what this psalm is about. I want us to look first at the identity of the shepherd and the sheep. We know, of course, it's using shepherds and sheep to relay an important spiritual message. But it's not primarily or finally about shepherd and sheep. They're part of it. But it's about us and how God in Christ is our shepherd and how He gets us through. John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus comes down as our shepherd specifically to express the Father's love and care for us, the one who sits on the rainbow circle throne in the highest glory, cares for His children and sends down His beloved Son to make that care practically helpful and workable and indeed wonderful. What it's saying, if you look in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh is my shepherd. In the Hebrew letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. It's the word for the name of God. When Moses asked God what his name was at the burning bush, you know, the bush was burning out in the desert, but it was not consumed. Moses must have been terrified. He fell on his face before the bush. He knew that God was in that bush. And he asked him his name. And in Hebrew, the name of God is Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, Yahweh, sometimes transliterated into English as Jehovah. And it means, I always exist. I exist out of myself. I depend on nothing. Absolutely everything depends upon me. And then Jesus says, I am that. All that's in Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, all that's in the eternal existence of God from eternity to eternity, one who made all that is and sustains it in being. That's who I am, says Jesus. I'm no lower an order of being than that. And then he goes on and tells us, as we see in one of the verses of Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So we could say the shepherd spoken of in Psalm 23 is our Heavenly Father's love come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to us absolutely everything we could need in life and through death and on the other side. That's how wonderful Jesus is. That's how great he is to you and to me. That's the shepherd. Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, Jehovah, Yahweh is my shepherd. And then we could say a word about the sheep. It means referring to individual believers. We call it in other parts of Scripture the elect, those chosen to be God's. Let me just say a comparison that the ancient commentators always gave, or nearly always gave, a comparison between sheep and cattle. I'm told, and I don't know this for sure, I used to have to feed cattle as a child, but never sheep. But anyway, they tell me cattle are far smarter than sheep. Cattle are able to smell out water a little bit under the soil, and they can dig through to that water. But sheep can't do that. Sheep are dependent on somebody else to provide the water. And so instead of the smarter cattle, we believers are compared to the sheep who need more help to get the water of life. And I didn't read you Psalm 22. It's a long one, though a wonderful one. And it's about the shepherd and the price he paid for us to be saved. The wounds in his hands and his feet and in his soul. What Jesus went through, that you and I could be redeemed, that we could be Christian believers. And because he paid the supreme price, as we see in Psalm 22, as I say, which I didn't read, you can read it when you go home if you wish. Having done all that, the Lord is glad to meet your lesser needs. Let me say this. Don't be ashamed to ask God for something, at least something that seems to be honorable. You always say, thy will be done, yes. But seek his face and ask him if he made the supreme sacrifice of himself for your sins that you could be redeemed. Nearly everything you ask is far less than that, so don't be hesitant to ask God as long as you say, Father, in this matter that I'm asking you to intervene, thy will be done. Now, Jesus does not resent your calling on him for help. Realistically, some people don't like it when you call on them for help, even if they have the ability to help you, or the money, or what, the time, or what have you. Some of them don't like it. But Jesus never minds. He's always available. The path to his throne is always open to those who are in need. And Jesus is glad for you to ask him. Psalm 27, seek ye my face, and the answer is, thy face, Lord, do we seek. If you're asking God for help, that's something he told you to do. Therefore, he approves of it and is pleased with you when you do it. He may not give you exactly what you're asking. I can't say about that. He might give you what you're asking exactly, or he may say not now, or he may give you something finally, you would know that was better. But he will definitely hear you out. And one way or another, he will ask you to watch for what he's going to do on your behalf. I think one of the problems in some of our praying, much of our praying, is we're not on the watch to see the answer come. And so when we pray and ask, let us be on the watch to see what God will do. And now, what does the shepherd mean to the sheep? We don't have sheep around here as far as I know. When my father was young in Moore County, his family had sheep. And he had to help look after them. That was a long time ago because he was born in 1907, so that's long since passed. Our family had plenty of cattle, cotton and tobacco and all that, but not sheep. The old people told me that the dogs, wild dogs, increased and were killing the sheep. So they got rid of the sheep long before I was ever born. But we have presented this wonderful figure, the shepherd who takes care of the sheep for things they cannot completely do by themselves. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and in this clause, I shall not want. I think many people are tempted to look at the future. It's unknown. Future's unknown for all of us. That's clear. The ultimate future will be with the Lord if we believe. Yes, that's clear enough. But what lies between now and the time he takes me home is quite unknown to us believers. But we have absolute security of an all-loving God who's in charge of absolutely everything. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing is anywhere near as big as he is in his infinite power. And he cares for us. The whole rest of this psalm, verses 2 to 6, is really an unfolding of this truth. God is all I shall ever need. Now get that, and you're going to be basically a happy person. Doesn't mean that you'll have everything you want. that every day will be a pleasant day. I'm not saying that, but you'll be on the inside a content, satisfied person when you've got the point. This God who showed himself to me in Jesus and intervened into my life to save me, he is all I shall ever need, even in this situation. And so we can think of Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. God will not let anything come into your life whatsoever except it can work for good. And he makes that decision. And so mine and your position say, Lord, choose thou my path for me. If you will be with me, it is fine. I can make it through. Now, we're told in verse 3, sort of a phrase we wouldn't use in modern English exactly, but we get the point. He restoreth my soul. It's a little bit like Psalm 103, verse 5, renewing our youth. It's a kind of another way to express the reality of something like revival. May not be revival over the whole community or the whole country. Who knows? It might be. But it's what happens when I practically begin to realize how much God cares for me, how involved he is, because he sent Jesus to pay for my sins and to raise me from the dead with him. And God is involved, and therefore all will be well with my soul. You know the hymn, it is well with my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's to say, God specifically guides me. Yes, he does it through the scripture. I think that's primary, but also in providential openings and closings of doors that we didn't even know were there. God is orchestrating things in my life when I don't see it to enable me to get to where he would have me to be. And you know, you tend to think, yeah, but that may be for some special person, but I'm weak, I'm at times foolish, at times I commit sin. How could I say he's going to do all this for me? And the answer is given us: for his name's sake. God does it for the honor of his name. My making it through to the other side, through the challenges of a difficult life at times, is going to be for the name of the Lord, for the credit, for the honor, for the power, for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to make it because of what Jesus did in our place to pay for our sins. You say, yeah, well, how could I make it being that I've committed these sins? It's for his name's sake. The Father deals with you as you yearn and seek and pray and sometimes fall down. He deals with you for his own name's sake. And thus he gives you personal guidance as to where you need to go next. That's one thing I try to, at times when it seems appropriate, discuss with young people finishing high school and maybe going off to the university or sometimes the military or wherever, to jobs. God will guide you as you look to Him in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will get you to where you need to be. So trust Him, so call on Him. As an old hymn that the African Americans used to sing, I used to hear them when we worked together in the Tobacco Beagles when I was a child. So keep on trusting in His holy word. A beautiful tune. I can't sing, so I can't give you the tune, but it's very wonderful. Keep on trusting in His holy word. And I can tell you that both the tune and the words have got me through some things that might have been otherwise rather difficult in my own life. And then verse 4, it talks about victory through the worst of times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Valley of the shadow of death. It's easy to talk about, much less pleasant to go through it. Paul once said, I die daily. He knew something about this, but he had somebody with him that was infinitely stronger than the worst, most evil, strong man. And he could say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David said it, Paul said it, and the saints said it. Moses was standing at the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was advancing upon him with swords drawn, spears at the ready, horses moving with lethal chariots. And God said, stretch out your staff, a shepherd's staff. And it became the mighty power of God and divided the sea. And Moses and the children of Israel were told, walk out into that now dry pathway through the Red Sea. And as they got to the other side, the Lord said, stretch out your rod, which Moses did, and the sea closed upon the Egyptian persecutors and drowned them. And God can, as it were, get you out of the sea. You get into things, maybe not your fault. And God is able to get you out of it. As it were, you stretch out the rod of faith upon it. And God moves. And what we would call a miracle can occur. And so at the end of life, we can say that Jesus is all that matters. No human, no devil can separate you from Jesus. Nothing can reduce His power as you trust in Him. Verse 5 talks about, thou spreadest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Just when it seems the worst, the Lord provides bounty for you in the midst of those who would do you harm. Speaks about, thou anointest my head with oil. Heard old Reverend William Steele in Aberdeen, Scotland once say, the Lord gives you a olive oil hairdo. I don't know about that, but thou anointest my head with oil. He gives you something of comfort and beauty and delight. And then it says, my cup overfloweth. Not only have you got enough, but you've got more than enough, and God's goodness and grace comes and fills your cup and literally pours out of it to others who also need it as much as you do. The overview of life on earth and in heaven is given us in verse 6. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What will your future be? And, you know, we don't believe in fortune tellers, so none of us would bother with that kind of thing, because that sort of fortune teller is lack of faith in God. However, if somebody could tell you what lies ahead between now and when you are called to leave this world, I can tell you from Scripture what it will be if you're a believer. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The goodness of God, the mercy of the Father, are always going to be like two favorite dogs at your heels. And then finally, it says something I love and think of as I get older. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You got somewhere to go when you leave here. Don't worry about dying. God will take care of that. God's got a better place for you. A higher place for you. A place where you will be delighted. It's His house forevermore. My father's family still tells a story. It's true, a true story of my father's mother who died as a result of childbirth in 1914 with her fourth child, a daughter, a very consecrated woman of God. And near the end, her mother and all the rest were there, her husband and the rest. She said, I have seen Jesus and He's waiting for me, so I have to go. And I count on you to look after the children, which her family gladly did. And Jesus was telling her He wanted her to dwell in His house forevermore. And that's where I believe she has been ever since. And one day, through Christ's death and resurrection, received by faith, we shall join her and all the other saints in that land of beauty and bliss and that wonderful heaven above where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's all you need to know when you're dying. You've still got your mind, and many of you will have your mind. What Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And simply say, Lord, take me to where you've prepared, that I can see your face. And that's a prayer He will gladly answer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.